It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Deborah Amos, in for Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inske. People who wake up in Haiti this morning will spend another day living among the dead. That's the overwhelming fact of a country struck by an earthquake this week.
And in this part of the program, we'll hear the voices of survivors, as well as the voices of people trying to help. They range from aid workers to a pilot landing at the battered airport. We begin with NPR's Greg Allen.
Port-au-Prince is a city where dead bodies are now commonplace. In devastated neighborhoods like Bel Air, Delmas, and La Lune, they're laid out unceremoniously on the side of the road, sometimes wrapped in sheets, sometimes not.
Outside of the gas station here, there's more than a dozen dead people lying here with sheets pulled over. Some of them wrapped up, some of them just draped, just dumped here. People walk by covering their faces, holding handkerchiefs over their noses. But everybody else has got things they got to do. Everybody else is walking by.
Narrow streets are lined with rubble. Many are impassable. Walls, roofs, entire buildings have crumbled to the ground. In the Bel Air neighborhood, a lot where a building once stood just a few days ago is now empty and being used as an impromptu bathhouse. People gather around a hose, filling buckets.
He's dead.
Philippe Mercier had just finished bathing his young daughter.
He made everything in the street, you know? Everything is breaking down. He's like somebody who lives in the street, you know? He ate in the street, he drank water in the street. You know, there's no pure water.
In every plaza and nearly every open space in Port-au-Prince, tarpaulins have been strung up and makeshift tent cities have formed. There's a sizable encampment across the street from the presidential palace, now collapsed, with its cupolas tilted askew. Not far away, the Interior Ministry building may, if anything, be in even worse shape. What once was a multi-story building is now just a mound of rubble. Outside, a team of rescue workers from the Dominican Republic is surveying the scene. But Miguelina Taktu said they realized there was nothing they could do.
We can't do anything because it's not... It's a difficult situation there, and our people can be in danger.
Do you think there's people alive in here?
Yes.
Two people were still inside, according to bystanders. Throughout Port-au-Prince, the backhoes and bulldozers needed to move tons of rubble have been slow to arrive. One problem is that many of Haiti's contractors and construction companies were also devastated by the earthquake. Outside the Interior Ministry, Gerald Emile Brun was shaking his head over the sheer magnitude of the tragedy and Haiti's clear inability to respond. He's an executive with Tessina, an architecture and engineering company. He was at work when the earthquake hit. His arms are scabbed, injuries he received when the building collapsed, and he fell through three floors, miraculously surviving. Others with the company, he says, weren't so lucky.
We are, you know, recovering about 8 cadavers so far from our office building. Senior engineers and architects, a lot of them are gone. The way the construction industry goes in Haiti, we probably are responsible for about 3,000 families. You know, now it's all down, it's all gone.
Time and again, Haitians ask the same thing. Where is the international community? Where is the help they desperately need? International help was more evident at the airport, now controlled by the U.S. military, where aid groups steadily arrived and foreign nationals waited to be airlifted out. Ashley Augustin was preparing to fly back to the U.S. She's with a children's nutrition program that worked in the town of Laogan, near the epicenter of the earthquake. After the quake, she says, she went to work in an emergency clinic.
We are now out of any medicine or equipment out in Laogan. We know aid workers are coming in, but we're just hoping it doesn't get bogged down in Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince has a lot of need, too, but Kafu and Laogan, everyone's house fell down, all the schools, all the clinics and hospitals, and there weren't many to begin with, and now they're fallen and out of equipment and medicine.
Emergency aid is flowing into Haiti. Aid groups are landing hourly. By next week, thousands of U.S. military will be on the ground. But for Haiti and the millions who live in and around the capital city, the need is now. Greg Allen, NPR News, Port-au-Prince.
And let's talk about some of the people helping those aid groups to land hourly. The airport, which is handling only emergency flights, was so crowded yesterday that planes sometimes had nowhere to land. NPR's Adam Hochberg has more.
The Toussaint Louverture Airport in Port-au-Prince is one of Haiti's few remaining lifelines to the rest of the world. Since Wednesday, it's been struggling to accommodate planes filled with supplies, relief workers, and volunteers. But it's been doing so under the most primitive conditions. There's no electricity, the air traffic control system is down, and pilots who've been using the airport say damage there is severe.
It's beyond anything I've ever seen.
Rick Hallquist is a pilot for Missionary Flights International, a Christian relief organization based in Florida. For the past few days, he's been flying DC-3s into Port-au-Prince, shuttling in volunteers and supplies to an airport that's barely usable.
The tower is still standing structurally, but the windows are blown out, so I'm not sure there's anybody operating up there. Besides that, the airport terminal building is pretty compromised. There's a lot of cracks in the walls. There's people working inside, but they're pretty much trying to limit their exposure inside the building.
Meanwhile, so many aircraft were trying to get into Haiti with aid supplies yesterday that the single runway airport was overwhelmed, and the Federal Aviation Administration halted most flights from the U.S. into Port-au-Prince. Throughout the day, military and civilian aircraft were packed side by side on the tarmac as crews unloaded tons of supplies. Other planes were parked on the grass, and at one point about a dozen more circled overhead because there was no place to put them if they were to land. Barry Ellis runs a charter service called HopaJet that's been flying doctors in from Miami. He says the situation was chaotic and sometimes exasperating.
Everybody that's trying to go in there, rightfully so, believes that they should have priority. Some airplanes have blood on board. They have doctors on board. So it's initially very frustrating to a lot of the airplanes, and therefore creates a hectic situation trying to get in there.
U.S. authorities scrambled yesterday to try to get conditions a bit more under control. The Air Force established a temporary air traffic control center. The FAA is sending a team of airport safety experts to Port-au-Prince, but even they were having a hard time getting a flight in. Rajiv Shah, who's coordinating the U.S. government's relief efforts, said restoring normal airport operations is a high priority.
We're maximizing our ability to get planes in there to unload them and to move them forward. There are going to be times when things do get jammed up there, but we're moving them as fast as we possibly can.
Commercial airlines that serve Haiti, American, Delta, Spirit, and others, have suspended all their flights. Though some are flying aid workers into the country, no one is speculating about when the airport might be in good enough shape for regular passenger service to resume. Meanwhile, there are a few other options to get people and supplies in and out of the country. The seaport in Port-au-Prince lies in ruins, highways are strewn with debris, and even for those willing to try to drive them, there's a shortage of fuel. Adam Hochberg, NPR News.
NPR's Joanne Silberner is traveling with medical rescue workers headed to Haiti, but she and they are not there yet. Last night, their plane was in a near miss above the crowded airport in Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince. Her plane was diverted, and she joins us from another Caribbean island. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why couldn't you make it into Haiti?
Well, last night on the approach to the airport, there were too many planes coming in. We got caught in the backwash of another plane. The engine stalled. The pilot managed to pull us out of it. We headed up and away. Then we had some problems with cabin pressure and not a whole lot of fuel to keep on trying these attempts, so we came here.
So where did you end up?
We ended up in Providenciales, and that's an island that's part of the Turks and Caicos.
Who are you with?
I'm with a couple of elite, well-trained groups, disaster medical assistance teams. And what they're going to do is, when we get there, set up and run several hospitals. So there are doctors, nurses, pharmacists, computer guys, and the like. But I have to tell you that this near miss did not faze this group. They're looking forward to getting up and going. They're very anxious to get there.
Joanne Silberner, not quite in Haiti yet, and I guess we'll hear more from you once the medical teams and you get to Haiti.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.